most busted in Laredo, but for reasons that I'd rather not disclose.
I smoke pot, and I like it a lot. Hi, this is Willie Nelson. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer to use than alcohol. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting responsible marijuana smokers in America. And to learn what you can do to help, please contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORMAL.
The show was long and we were just sitting there, and we'd come to play and not just for the ride.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash. Today, folks, it is Wednesday, July 25th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal right now to help end marijuana prohibition in America. Legalization won't happen without your support, so make sure you join or donate today. Just visit norml.org. It's a very important week here as the U.S. House of Representatives is geared to take up the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment debate. This amendment to the Commerce, Justice, and Science Appropriations Bill would stop funding the DEA from arresting and prosecuting patients in states that allow medical marijuana access. Make sure you get involved with the passage of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment this year. Contact your local congressional representative today, right now. We have links to do so right up at normalaudiostash.com. Really, folks, it's the most effective way to promote reform is to contact your elected officials. Contact your congressional rep right now with links we have at normalaudiostash.com and urge them to pass the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. Yesterday on the program, we spoke with the bill's co-sponsor, Maurice Hinchey of New York. Today, the other co-sponsor of the bill, Congressman Dana Raubacher of California, joins us today. Also on the program, Congressman Ron Paul of Texas, a longtime supporter of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment and reform in this area, joins us today to weigh in on the amendment. And we'll also get a chance to speak with Dr. Mitch Earlywine in a regular Wednesday segment today, our cannabis science segment. All that coming up for you in a jam-packed audio stash today. Let's get things going. Joining us today on the program to discuss the medical marijuana amendment to the Science, Commerce, and Justice Appropriations Bill before the House of Representatives today that would stop the DEA from prosecuting patients in states that allow medical marijuana access is the bill's co-sponsor, Republican Congressman Dana Raubacher of California. Congressman Raubacher represents the 46th District in California and has joined his colleague, Congressman Maurice Hinchey, in proposing and co-sponsoring this amendment for the last 4 years. Congressman Raubacher, welcome here to Normal's podcast today.
Well, thank you very much.
Very good to speak with you today, Congressman. Thank you again for taking time to join us. This amendment received record support last year and could receive even more support this year. Let me ask, what prompted you to co-sponsor this amendment and seek this type of appropriations reform?
Common sense. It's just common sense that people who are sick and Their doctor believes they need medical treatment of some kind, and that the doctor is willing to issue a prescription. It's common sense that if the local people of an area, either of a state or locality, believe that that should not be a crime and that a doctor should be able to prescribe marijuana as a medicine for people who are going through operations and such, it's common sense that they be permitted to do so and that the federal government not waste limited resources in interfering.
And in your district in California and across the state of California, there has been a lot of DEA activity in regards to medical marijuana. Is that something that has kept you involved with this amendment, seeing firsthand that DEA activity that is just so detrimental to patients?
Well, whenever you get the government involved in areas that it shouldn't be in, you see abuse of power and people acting arrogantly and people being, you know, run over in a roughshod manner, and that's basically what's happening here. You people of California voted very overwhelmingly. I mean, it was a very solid majority to permit doctors to prescribe marijuana for medical purposes, and as long as they're doing it with a prescription, and to have the federal government just step in and try to interfere with the rights of the people to make criminal law leads to the type of abuses that have where you see prosecutors and other people and government officials like with the DEA acting in an arrogant fashion with local officials, because the local officials represent the will of the people.
And do you think it could be difficult for your colleagues in Congress to fully understand this issue if they come from states that don't allow medical cannabis access yet?
Those of us who live in states where the public in a very solid majority, if not an overwhelming majority, voted to make the medical use of marijuana legal, we have a tendency to understand that better, because we can see that that's the will of the people. And those of us who study the law know that our founding fathers had every intention to leaving criminal matters and the criminalization of things to be left at the local and state level and not to be handled by the federal government. So both in terms of practicality, in terms of if you are someone who comes from one of those states, or if you're just someone who studies history, you know that something's screwy and when you use the DEA to enforce a criminal law that the local people don't want to be an illegal act.
And Congressman Raubacher, Congressman Paul and Congressman Hinchy both mentioned the states' rights issue in all of this as well. I have to ask, do you think that medical marijuana has become an important states' rights topic of our era right now?
I think that medical marijuana is something that should cause people on the left and the right to take a look at what they really believe philosophically. And many people on the left think in terms of having the federal government have an awesome power to protect us. And people on the right claim that they want to have a decentralized government and that states' rights, etc. Well, in this case, people should take a look, and this is a very practical issue that's facing us. How does that fit into your perspective? And I happen to be very comfortable with that philosophical introspection on what this issue means to me as a person who's guided by his ideals. And we should let local government and state government handle criminal issues, and the federal government should not supersede those issues.
And should this amendment pass this session, do you think in some way it could make state governors more at ease with allowing medical access programs in their states?
Well, I think Governor Schwarzenegger was against medical marijuana for the reason that he felt that this was going to lead to problems with the federal government, who would come in and give problems to doctors and other people who were taking heed at the local laws rather than at the federal law. But look, I mean, who are we supposed to be representing? We're supposed to be representing the people of the United States, and especially those people who we represent in our various districts in California. And the people have spoken very clearly. If someone is going through medical problems, that person should be permitted to use marijuana if it's prescribed by a medical doctor. And the federal government should just butt out.
Righto. And co-sponsoring this amendment, Congressman, what have been some of the surprises along the way for you, especially in discussions of medical marijuana with some of your colleagues there in the U.S. House of Representatives?
Well, the thing that surprised me the most is that how many conservative Republicans actually agree with the proposition that the federal government shouldn't be in here outlawing medical purposes of marijuana. Most, even the conservative Republicans, realize that if the local people want it to be legal and doctors will prescribe it, that it is nonsensical for the federal government to interfere with that. So I was expecting a lot more resistance from conservative Republicans, and actually I don't think I've ever had one complain about that. And and again, maybe the other thing that's a little bit, you know, as they say, the world turned tipsy-turvy in terms of philosophically, is you do have a lot of people in who are from the left who believe that the federal government should have all kinds of powers to protect people, and here they're getting a good dose of what happens when the federal government goes out to protect you, even when you don't want that protection. And so I think that it should be a good, this should be a learning experience for both liberals and conservatives.
And finally today, what do you think the public will take away from hearing this type of debate on the House floor?
Well, I appreciate the fact that this is a one of those issues that's going to reflect, I believe, the democratic nature of our society, and that is people who are actively participating in our society will have an influence on the policies of our government. And if you don't get active, you don't have that influence. And I think that the activity levels at the grassroots level is pushing this issue. And as an American who believes in this type of free and democratic process that we have, I think it shows you that in the long run, if you work hard, our system works.
Righto. Well, Congressman Raubacher, I want to again express our thanks for taking time to join us here today on the podcast, and I look forward to speaking with you again in the future.
Thank you.
Congressman Dana Raubacher represents the 46th District in California and is co-sponsoring a medical marijuana amendment to the Science, Commerce, and Justice Appropriations Bill before the House of Representatives today. Make sure you take action and contact your local congressional rep and ask them to vote in favor of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. We have links to take action right now on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, Republican Congressman from Texas and presidential candidate Ron Paul joined us yesterday via telephone to briefly discuss the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. And first I asked Congressman Paul if he thought there was growing uneasiness with the DEA activity in California in regards to medical marijuana.
Well, I think so. And I think deep down in the hearts of most members of Congress, they know they're doing the wrong thing. The conservatives at least know that states' rights to them is supposed to mean something, so that's an appealing argument. And I think when we talk about, you know, a little bit of compassion for people who are suffering, to be able, allowed to use something which is legal in a state has a moral argument that is hard for them to be, you know, comfortable with. You know, they stick by this. It's mainly out of fear. They think that they're going to lose the next election. They'll think they're soft on drugs, and they just go on, and they feel very intimidated by 30 years of propaganda, you know, on this war on drugs.
And Congressman Paul, is that propaganda starting to perhaps lose out to the reality of patients coming out to Capitol Hill meeting with their congressional representatives on the issue of medical marijuana access?
Well, I think there's progress, but I still think so many members of Congress are still intimidated. It doesn't mean that they won't change. I think sometimes these things come all of a sudden. People will all of a sudden wake up, and there'll be a few more, and then they feel comfortable, and then they will change it. when that time comes, I just don't know.
We saw those letters go out from the DEA to medical marijuana dispensaries in Los Angeles last week. Congressman, do you think in some ways the DEA is seeing the writing on the wall here with this amendment, and they're trying to intimidate the medical access program while they still can? Congressman and presidential candidate Ron Paul joined us briefly yesterday to discuss the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment via telephone. We have links to Congressman Paul's two previous interviews this year right here on the program up on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Make sure you get involved with the passage of the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment right now. Visit the Take Action Center on Normal's website and contact your local congressional rep. We have links right on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Next up today, we have a director's notes commentary from Normal's executive director, Alan St. Pierre.
Anyone who has traveled America extensively, and most especially if you're close to marijuana-related culture, it would be near impossible to miss both the great East versus West divide in our country regarding marijuana prohibition and the marijuana migration of sorts, both of which have the potential to help end the national prohibition of marijuana in our lifetimes. In short, the differences between the states in the eastern and western United States regarding medicinal marijuana laws, public attitudes, cannabis use patterns, availability of paraphernalia, criminal laws, and court precedents are stark. While the eastern seaboard has pockets of decriminalized states, in effect, many of those states ignore their ability to charge adults caught by police with minor amounts of marijuana under decriminalization statutes. States such as Ohio, North Carolina, and most surprisingly, and racially biased, New York. Western states such as California, Nevada, Colorado, and Oregon have minor fines for marijuana possession cases, and Alaska has no penalty whatsoever for 1 ounce or below. Eastern states with medical marijuana laws on the books, Maine, Maryland, Rhode Island, and Vermont, are fairly tame and limited in scope as compared to Western states with medical marijuana laws. States such as Hawaii, Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Nevada, Colorado, and most notably, California, the one state where medical cannabis is openly sold to qualified patients with a physician's recommendation in the reported 250 to 400 medical marijuana dispensaries throughout the state. Some dispensaries are even paying state sales taxes on medical cannabis. To stand in a huge, registered, and Main Street California medical dispensary, as I have, it is mind-boggling to fly a few hours eastward, say to our nation's capital, and read official congressional head-in-the-sand pronouncements from the Republican leadership that, quote, there is no such thing as medical marijuana, unquote. Period. End of discussion. I guess these congressional leaders, especially those from non-Western states, are missing the big picture, as tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Americans are making the conscious decision annually to move from a state where their responsible use of marijuana and or physician-recommended medical necessity makes them a legal pariah. Well, they could move to a state or a marijuana-friendly city, cities such as Madison, Wisconsin, Ann Arbor, Michigan, or Seattle, Washington, to live a largely peaceable existence. As more and more Americans cluster and become politically active in states with progressive marijuana laws, a major policy challenge looms in Washington, D.C., similar to the way states, led by New York, told the federal government in the middle of alcohol prohibition to go their own way and enforce their alcohol prohibition laws. If America's western states gird for a fight with the federal government here in Washington, we may see the same ignominious fate regarding cannabis prohibition. Thankfully, we live in a place and time when cannabis consumers can choose to no longer be victims of geography. This is Alan St. Pierre, Executive Director of NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C.
That was Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre. You can contact him online at foundation@normal.org or call toll-free at 202-483-5500.
What's up, guys? This is Ms. High Times 2007, and you're chilling with us here at the Normal Podcast.
Each Wednesday here on the Audio Stash, we get the chance to talk about the science of cannabis with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Mitch is professor of psychology at State University of New York. He's author of the book, Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book, Pot Politics. We have links to the books on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Mitch, welcome back to the program today.
Thanks for having me on.
Always great to speak with you here, Mitch. Let's begin our discussion today by talking about sports and marijuana. Football and the NFL end of this was covered recently in a Reason.org article co-written by Normal's senior policy analyst Paul Armentano and Normal advisory board member Mark Stepnoski, who played for the Dallas Cowboys. And just yesterday, Atlanta Falcons cornerback Jimmy Williams is now facing marijuana possession charges, but the NFL certainly isn't the only sport where we find marijuana smokers. In fact, it's in every sport, really. But let me ask, could marijuana be helping these individuals deal with the physical pain associated with that extreme physical exertion that they do for their careers, for their jobs?
It's always a tough thing to address. As you can imagine, the medical literature on this is not huge. And anytime you start talking about sports, people are understandably concerned about people who are underage using cannabis in hopes of getting some of the benefits for their own sporting life. And, you know, as the Normal website and we have discussed time and again, you know, marijuana is not for kids. Why would athletes use this? Well, in fact, you know, a third of America has used it, so why wouldn't they as well? But a number of different magazines and sports-related publications have approached me on this in the past. The anti-inflammatory properties of marijuana are extremely well known, and a lot of sports tend to lead to injuries that are related to inflammation. People who are in the sliding sports, if you will, based on some data that came out of France, suggest that some of the attentional enhancing qualities of marijuana seems to provide them with at least a sense that they're doing better. So I was interviewed by a big competitive skiing magazine about this issue, and apparently they claim that, you know, their ability to focus and to sort of go with the flow, if you will, is improved on this. I find this something that's probably just their subjective impression. We have no data showing, oh, yes, it's better under these circumstances than drug-free. And so I can't say I advocate this at all, but that seems to be the belief of a number of athletes who use cannabis. When you look at the data on non-professional athletes, at least, these are also the folks who tend to use for recreational reasons. And so it's not some big surprise, and it's not that they're just using it in a sporting context. I'm reluctant to even mention it in some ways because just the whole idea of some of these extreme sports, they're already so dangerous, and to try to engage in these when you're not at your peak cognitive capacity sounds a little scary to me.
And we know games like football require a lot of intelligence and quick thinking on the part of the players who are on the field, so being high during a game is certainly not the best idea.
Even offensive linemen, who are often treated as if they are not, you know, the most cerebral guys on the field, have very complicated decisions to make extremely rapidly on any individual play just to avoid injury, never mind doing a good job. And when you got a 300-pound person flying at you at top speed, that's going to take a little bit of thought. And so, of course, we'd want to make sure everybody's at their peak under those kinds of circumstances.
Now, in discussing football in particular, we know that those players endure a lot of head injuries. Even with the helmets and protection, there is, you know, contact head banging going on sort of throughout the game. Could marijuana help with that type of head injury in particular?
Well, it's interesting because there is some laboratory data suggesting that, you know, the cannabinoids have these neuroprotective factors that maybe they can help minimize sort of brain-related problems, but it's when they're applied almost immediately after the injury. And I just don't think the NFL is going to have a little cannabis right there in case you bang your head. That's just not going to happen anytime soon. But what's often the reports, at least among, you know, non-professional athletes, is you have a hard game and it's sort of your reward, your opportunity to unwind and your chance to do this without any of the negative consequences of more popular alcohol. And, you know, certainly you don't want something like nicotine or caffeine. The stimulants aren't going to be at all relaxing. And so here's an opportunity to, especially if you vaporize, have something that's got really no negative consequences, isn't going to give you a hangover or anything like that as far as recovery is concerned, and can still give you an opportunity to kind of take your mind off the game and just sort of recover in what would be as comfortable a setting as possible.
Now, many players take over-the-counter pain medication like ibuprofen or acetaminophen, not just in the NFL, but many sports, while they are playing, and that's not viewed as any enhancement. But if there are players of any sport using marijuana during a competition, Mitch, could it be viewed in any way as a performance-enhancing drug per se, or is it more like that ibuprofen?
It seems unlikely when you think about both the cognitive effects and some of the non-cognitive ones. My stereotype of performance-enhancing drugs is steroids, right? Here's something that has literally tons of negative consequences that is, you know, definitely inappropriate. We would like to have the sport be something that anyone can engage in and compete in without having to risk their health. Well, what are the negative consequences or performance-enhancing properties of cannabis? I honestly can't point to one that would be a big advantage. The skiers who I've talked to say, well, I'm, you know, more willing to sort of go for it or take these risks. I don't feel like that's necessarily a plus as far as, you know, just risk for injury is concerned. And, you know, the idea that this is somehow motivating or you know, a stimulant in any way, the way some drugs that are used for, say, endurance sports, doesn't make any sense either. So I just don't see this as a drug that an Olympic committee should be all freaked out about. And it, in truth, I mean, it just doesn't have the negative consequences of the drugs that seem to be the more reasonable targets of these kind of competitive sport concerns.
Now let's talk about marijuana smoking after the game or after the race. Many athletes complain of insomnia before or after a game or competition and trying to mentally deal with the intense interactions they have. Could marijuana help professional athletes sort of psychologically in that regard?
Well, both THC and cannabidiol have shown some pretty impressive improvement of symptoms of insomnia, so that would certainly seem to make sense. There are literally hundreds of insomnia drugs available, but a lot of them are extremely dehydrating, which is going to really work against you as an athlete, and a lot of them end up making you kind of groggy in the morning, whereas, you know, an experienced cannabis user can sort of moderate the dose much more readily, whereas, you know, it's tougher to break these pills into the exact size you want, and I could see a big advantage for folks who, you know, want to get to sleep rapidly but don't want to wake up groggy and dehydrated, that marijuana would really be a big plus for that.
Now, every league is different. The NBA, for example, doesn't suspend players from games because of marijuana possession or testing positive for THC. But in states that do allow medical marijuana access, is there some sense here that athletes could use this type of therapy, cannabis therapy, in lieu of other pain medications?
Unfortunately, everybody is so different, there's no way to know except on this sort of ideographic basis. Let each individual try the various medications available to see which ones work best for him or her. I feel like, particularly with medical cannabis, because the toxicity is so low compared to, say, the opiate drugs, and the addictiveness is markedly lower than, say, Vicodin or OxyContin or any of those other ones. And when you meet, you know, professional athletes who run into problems with those kinds of opiate drugs, you can't help but wish there was some other way for them to, you know, get the pain relief they need without the risk of this kind of addiction.
Mitch, let me also ask, because we know steroid use is unfortunately common across most sports, is there any sense that there is any drug-drug interaction between steroids and marijuana, or any additional detriment to those who use steroids and marijuana concurrently?
We don't have any data to suggest that steroids and marijuana create novel negative consequences that you don't get with steroids alone, but that's hardly any reassurance. The negative consequences of long-term steroid use are so dramatic and so negative. So, I think anybody who's even considering using these, particularly early in life, has to take a cold, hard look at what do they want to get out of their life in the long term. And it's not about just a few momentary moments of glory in sporting events. You want to have a nice, long, full life filled with lots and lots of fun events throughout, you know, all of the ages. I do have one crazy anecdotal story of a college student at a university where football was quite a big deal who had been using steroids quite in an abusive fashion to try to, make progress, and actually during a marijuana intoxication experience felt really, really awful about it. And it was almost as if, you know, the effects of marijuana on rumination can be high. You start thinking the same thought over and over again, and basically came to the conclusion that he was going to quit steroids during marijuana intoxication. Now, would he have come to this under other circumstances? I would hope. But there was something about being faced with these two really inconsistent behaviors, this sort of devotion to health and athletic performance, and yet this clearly maladaptive use of a performance-enhancing drug that was going to hurt him in the long run that really made him change his mind during that experience.
Righto, Mitch. Well, this has been a great discussion today on a hot topic. I want to thank you again for joining us here today and covering this wide array of subjects.
Well, and do give Mark and Paul my hearty thanks for writing that article. I think it's snappy and really a fun one.
Thank you again, Mitch. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York. He's author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and the editor of the new book Pot Politics. We have links to the books on our website at normalaudiostash.com.
Don't go all about. Don't go all about. Don't go
That was some fine music found at podshow.com. We have links to all the artists at normalaudio-.com. Make sure you contact your congressional representative today, folks, to urge them to pass the Hinchey-Raubacher Amendment. We have links to the Take Action Center right up on our website at normalaudio-.com. Activism is just a click away. It's never been so easy. Make sure you get involved right now. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about everyday's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of Normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.